Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast, coming to you from Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Producer Mike Hears is here also, and we're in the middle of a busy week here at Winter Park. It's mandatory minicamp week, Leslie Frazier's first and only mandatory minicamp of the offseason program, and everyone is here. Jared Allen is here practicing, coming back from Arizona. Chad Greenway looking good, playing on that defense. Adrian Peterson continues his rehab. He's here working on the side. A lot of great faces around. It's good to see the guys back, everyone together practicing. You see the first string, you see the second string. Good to see John Sullivan leading that offensive line. Our rookies, our high draft picks, Matt Khalil going against Jared Allen. That's fun to watch. So it's been a busy week here at Winter Park. We hope you check out all the minicamp coverage on Vikings.com. Speaking of guys who are here, Aaron Henderson is here. He's our guest coming off the field from minicamp practice number one. It feels better in here than it does outside, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was a scorcher out there today. I was kind of surprised waking up this morning. It was a little nippy outside, yeah. Kind of cloudy, overcast.
It was tricky.
So, yeah, we went to the walkthrough earlier in the indoor facility.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, whoa, what happened? And, yeah. You know, you could tell, you could feel the humidity already. So we knew we was in for a long day. Kind of try to flush some water down real quick before you get out there. But it was fun. You know, you really figure out a little bit more when you're practicing in the heat.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's a little bit like training camp because usually when we're down in Mankato, it's like this.
Yeah, you get the 85, but real humid, so it feels a little bit worse than what it really is. And like I said, you find out what your conditioning is like. And coming off a long weekend, you know, it could be tough to get out there on a day like today.
Some guys slip up a little bit over the weekend, right? Have too much fun, sit on the couch.
You got to enjoy yourself sometime, you know?
I know you do that,
too. It can't be all business all the time.
Yeah. So we had 10 OTAs. We were just talking about this off mic. We had 10 OTAs, and you guys have been here a 9-week off-season program, and now you have this mini camp. And it seems like the mini camp, the energy is supposed to ramp up and everything. But is there a difference between what you guys do at OTAs and what you do at mini camp?
I think the biggest difference would be the time that you have to put in. You know, usually by now I'll be at home on my couch playing with my son, hanging out and enjoying the rest of the day. As opposed to now, you know, we're just walking off the field. The intensity was always there from day one with this group, and that's one thing that I'm proud of, and I look forward to going into battle as we move forward and work our way down to Mankato and into the preseason and into the regular season as well. I think it started from day one. You know, you got 90 guys on the roster, so you feel that pressure right away to go out there and compete and try to make sure that you got one of those spots when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and there's going to be, you know, once you include practice squad, and unfortunately some guys will be on injured reserve, we're going to have 60-some. Once we start the season that we cut down from 90. And so there's 30 guys who are here practicing that may or may not make it. But when you entered the league, Aaron, you were considered one of those guys, right? Because you come in as an undrafted free agent. So you sympathize with those guys who are trying to make it the hard way, right?
Undrafted, 10th linebacker on the roster. Yeah. I had to go talk to Pug about trying to figure out a rotation or some kind of way for me to at least show him what I had and what I was capable of doing and getting a chance to go out there and then show and prove. Like you talk about injuries before, they play a big role. You never know who the injury bug is going to bite or how it's going to bite. You know, I knock on wood and hope that it's not me. But I was fortunate enough to be put in a situation where somebody got hurt. You know, it sucks for that person, but for me, it was a great opportunity. And I took it and ran with it from there. You know, now it's just a matter of not looking back.
Yeah, you know, Leslie Frazier last week talked about how you've stepped into a leadership role. He wouldn't really start guessing as to why it was that way, but that really doesn't matter. What matters is you stepped into that role. I mean, do you feel that way? It's hard to say that about yourself, but someone said it about you, so I want you to react to it. Do you feel that way?
I'll tell you what I thought about coming into the season. Coach Childress pulled me aside one day before he left, and he told me, he said, Aaron, you know, you talk a lot for a guy who doesn't have any equity around here, meaning, you know, you haven't really done much, but you're real talkative. And, you know, it's always been a part of me. It's always been a part of how I am and how I carry myself. You know, I enjoy coming out here and playing football, and, you know, I know I'm blessed to have this opportunity to be out here. And you get out there, you get those juices flowing, and you want to have fun, and you want to enjoy yourself, you want to get the guys going as well. But, you know, it's also a point where it's like you got to put some money in the bank first, you know, for people who really listen to you or before people really respect you and, you know, hear what you have to say. So now coming off a decent season that I had last year, you know, I get a little bit more respect around the locker room. Guys know I'm not just selling wolf tickets or just out here barking just to hear myself talk. And, you know, it's just a difference in how people respond to you more so than anything.
So that was for you. It wasn't something that a coach said to you and you let it slide off your back. It's something that you kind of thought about?
Oh, yeah, you think about stuff like that. And then it's a tough pill to swallow at the time. But then when you think about it, you're like, okay, I can understand where it's coming from. You know, I can see where it's coming from. You know, and in my defense, my response, you know, me, I'm not going to just let that ride. My response was, you know, I haven't been given the opportunity. You know, when given the opportunity, opportunity, I'll go out there and show him proof, and we could talk from there. But up to that point, you know, I really had an opportunity to go out there and show him what I was capable of. The closest thing to it was the Miami game and the first play out there. You know, I recover a fumble and return it to the 1 yard line, and you know, make a couple other plays as the game progresses. Like I said, just you got to. It's all a matter of taking the opportunities and making them, making the best of them when you do get them. So yeah. it was a hard thing, you know. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way for a second, but sure. At the same time, I can understand where he was coming from.
Aaron Henderson is our guest on today's Wobcast. Do you think, not to get all psychological on you, I don't have my degree in that, but is some of that your attitude and your disposition like that? You're a younger brother, and so you need to do stuff like that to get attention? Is it just your personality? I mean, because it's obviously worked for you. I mean, here you are. Yeah.
My wife would tell me it's because my moon is in Leo, or my Venus is in Leo, one of those things. And, you know, that's the lion and the king of the jungle, and I got lions tattooed all over me. Yeah. You know, and
do you like long walks on the beach or something?
all that good stuff. No, but you know, it's just you want to believe that you're that guy, and you know you're the king of the jungle. You know, and, it's hard to step out on this field and not be confident in yourself and what you have to do. Yeah. People will make you pay for it. If you go out there questioning yourself or second guessing who you are or what you're capable of doing, they'll make you pay for it in this league, because those guys aren't questioning it. You know, they're coming after you, play in and play out. So my mentality was always that I'm the best. Every time I step on the field, I believe that I'm the best out there. Whether other people will believe me or agree with me or they see it, you know, that's irrelevant to me. Give me some time. I'll prove it to you. That's always been how I looked at things.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Pug. That's our linebackers coach, Fred Pugich, who's been here since 2006. A guy who, you know, in my dealings with him, it's clear that he likes you. He likes the way you play, and he likes the way you handle yourself. Now, after being defensive coordinator last year, he's back in your linebacker room every day. Do you like that? Do you like being with him every day?
I love it. Yeah. Coach Pug was the guy from day one who believed in me when nobody else did. And, you know, that's why it was easy for me to go into his office and talk to him about what was going on and what was happening. I knew he wasn't going to look at me like I was crazy or turn me away or tell me to go, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, some blank words that I can't fill in there. Exactly. So, you know, I knew I didn't have to worry about that. But like I said, he's been a good guy from day one, man. He's always been in my corner. He's always had my back. And I appreciate that. You know, in this league, in this business, you need that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be times when your confidence might waver, or you might not, you know, believe in yourself the same way. Or you might feel that you're not playing the best ball. And it's good to have that coach that's willing to kick you in your butt when you need it. And, you know, pick you up and when you're on the ground and tell you, hey, let's go back out there and try it again. Yeah. Great coach, you know, he knows all his X's and O's, he knows this stuff inside out, so it's just a matter of listening to what he does and then going implementing onto the field.
Yeah. How you feel about your linebacker room? You and Chad and Jasper and some of the young guys we've added, you guys feeling pretty good?
I think we got a good group, man. I think it's going to be exciting. We got good chemistry amongst us. I've known Jasper before I even came to the league. I met Chad before I even came to the league.
Yeah.
You know, we talked to each other about different things. You know, I think me and Chad grew a little bit this offseason dealing with what he had to deal with and what he was going through. Mm-hmm. You know, just letting him know that I'm here for you, whatever you might need. You know, me and Jasper, you know, just since we've been here, you know, we've become like best friends on and off the field. So, you know, I look forward to the chance to get out there and you know, for us to play together. I mean, like you said, we got some other guys that are ready to step up, and you can see them kind of coming into their own and kind of trying to earn a spot and earn some time as well.
I want to ask you about that. Solomon Olimian, is that how you say his last name? Have we figured that out yet?
Your guess is just as good as mine. We just call him Solly.
Okay, Solly. You know, CFL standout now. He was, if you are a CFL fan, you know his name. That's a household name for you. What do you think about him? Is he, I mean, it's hard to compare him to another player that we all know, but what kind of player is he?
He flashes. He's one of those guys that you see some interesting things from him. Unfortunately, he got bit by the injury bug a little bit early in OTAs, and you could kind of see that competitive drive in him, though. You know, he wasn't out there happy about being on the sidelines. You can tell he was upset about it and almost disappointed in himself that he couldn't be out there and having a chance to compete. But every time he stepped on that field, you know, who's 59? You know, we're 59. Come from, you know, you made a play today on a run through for about a 3 or 4 yard loss, and it's like, oh, okay, you know, so you could see that potential, and you could see why people would be excited about a kid like Solly.
What are you good at from a physical standpoint on the field? What are your strengths?
I think one of my strengths would be my range, my ability to get sideline to sideline and make some plays in different places and different spots. Kind of a long guy, lanky. I can come off the hash if I am running down the middle playing at nickel Mike.
Yeah.
I was actually shocked when I go back and watch my film from last year and I watch the tape and I see how well I did, you know, playing in our cover two system and getting down the middle of that field and protecting that. I thought that was something I did well.
Yep.
When I got a chance to make tackles, I didn't miss too many. I think I had about 6 or 7 missed tackles on the whole year, if that many. And, you know, it's hard to tackle these backs in the league now. They get paid good money to go out there and make you miss and make you look silly. Yep. So I think that was a real big accomplishment for me. And, you know, I'm just excited to see what the future brings. I learned a lot last year. Not having to think about stuff anymore. When I see things, I can believe it because I know that those guys on offense have to be precise about stuff. So if they're doing something, you know it's for a reason.
Do you think you learned a lot partially because you had so many snaps and you had a lot to look at? I mean, that's a huge
thing. When you can put yourself in those situations, when you're trying to visualize yourself in a situation, it can be tough to do because you might give yourself more credit than what you really, what you're really capable of. So you might be like, oh, I would have made that play. I already did that, or I would have been able to get to that. Or I would have been able to hit that fullback better than that. But until you actually out there, and like we say in football, bullets are flying and people are dying, then you figure out who's really made of what and what they can do. So to be able to go back and watch that film and look myself out there, I knew what I had to get better at, and I know what I have to work on in order for me to be the linebacker that I want to be. And now it's just a matter of me going out there and showing improvement.
Yeah, you grew up on the East Coast. We're talking to Aaron Henderson, Vikings linebacker. You grew up on the East Coast. You went to the University of Maryland, but now you play here and you live here. Do you like living in Minnesota?
I love it. Great people. You don't really get bothered a lot when you're out and about. You know, they kind of go about their business and they let you enjoy yourself. You know, you get the fans that show you their appreciation, but then they'll leave you alone. You know, it's not like they harass you or they bother you. Good food out here. I've learned how to make brats with the best of them.
Anybody you can grill now? You
anybody,
can barbecue?
Anybody wants to challenge me to a brat competition, I'm here.
Ooh, sounds fun.
You know, so I actually made a couple yesterday and I grilled them in the beer and everything else like the Minnesotans do. So I asked the people on Twitter. I said, now, if I change to a Minnesota license, does that make me an official Minnesotan? Does that officially mean I'm here?
You need an accent.
I see. That's what they told me. I got to start saying you know at the end of everything.
Is it really that bad though?
I've called it every now and again. You catch it. You hear it come out from different people, but I don't really feel like it's that big a difference. I think it just is what it is. People talk how they talk.
Well, you probably don't catch it a lot in the building. Like people like Mike and me and like staffers, we're from Minnesota. But I mean, a lot of your teammates aren't. A lot of your coaches aren't. So you probably don't run into it a lot.
I can't understand most of my teammates when they talk. Right. I've been trying to figure it out for a lot of years, but most of them, I don't understand what they're saying.
I'm impressed though. You knew to boil the brats before you put them on the barbecue.
Yeah, see, I'm learning. I'm telling you, I'm learning. I'm learning.
And I mean, and you went out to Canterbury. You saw PA out there. Yep. That's like a fun thing to do.
I went
in
to go check out the horse racing this year. This is my first time going since I've been here. I went and watched a couple of horse races. Yeah. I actually went 2 weekends to watch a couple of horse races. It's fun stuff, man. It's good stuff. Yeah. And there's a lot of other doors that I haven't opened out here. You know, I haven't been out to the lakes, unfortunately. I haven't been on the boats, and you know, I haven't done the hunting and things like that. But when I make some money, then maybe I'll go do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to talk with Khalil, and you got to talk with Ponder.
When I get paid the big bucks, then maybe I'll be able to get into that kind of stuff.
Because those three, I follow them on Twitter, and all they talk about is being out there.
Yeah.
So if you want to get out there, I think you got to get with them.
Yeah, I got to learn how to swim, too. No, I'm just joking. I swim like a fish. I'm just joking.
One thing we got to ask you, music. Tell us about your music preferences. We have a sweet picture we're going to put up on the website. It's of you in pregame warm-ups. And you have your Beats headphones on. So we want to talk to you about music.
I'm a big music. I mean, in fact, Beats should probably endorse me and probably send me
some
free ones and everything else. I already have about 4 or 5 pair of them, not including the ones that I bought for my wife. So
now we can, you can endorse it and they can sponsor the Wobcast.
Exactly. See, now we're talking, Wobby. Okay. Now we're talking. Okay. No, but I'm a big music guy. And as they say with the Beats, you want to hear music the way that's supposed to be heard, and you should get you a pair. So I'm one of the only guys in the locker room that has the wireless ones right now, and everybody's kind of looking at me like, "Well, where you get those from? What are those all about?" I try. So they're cool, man. I love music. It's gotten me through a lot of different things in my life and in time. You know, it seems like I always find the right songs at the right time. Last year was a lot of young kids that came out that were kind of new to the game, and they were coming out, you know, the Big Sean's and Wale and, you know, a lot of the hip-hop guys, and they're talking the same things that I'm living. So, you know, trying to come up in this game that can be so rough, it can be so brutal, and it's so tough to make it in, and, you know, excelling in a place we're not supposed to excel in, you know what I mean? And becoming something and somebody that nobody really expected us to be. So it's been like that for me my entire life, and, you know, I'm very grateful and thankful for music. Me and Christian are actually about to try to start making some music, believe it or not, Christian Ballard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we went and got some studio stuff set up, and he's setting up a studio at his house. And I can't rap, and I'm not going to pretend to be the greatest rapper ever, but, you know, I could put some stuff down on paper, and we can have some fun with it and see where it goes from there.
Well, you said studio. We're in Sports Authority Studios, and we have people who walk around here and really know what they're doing. So since you always give to us interviews and time like this, if you ever need a consultant, you can come here and figure out what you need.
See, why I'm learning
That's
a lot
what I'm
right
saying.
Now. So we got the Beats by Dre thing that we're going to work on and get set up. And then I got permission to come in here and use the studio and show you guys
Absolutely.
How. All right. You want me to give them a couple bars right now?
Yes.
No, they're
but
not
see,
ready
But see, you
it.
Need something to do because minicamp's going to be over.
Yeah.
And you're going to have like
about
a month
off.
And change.
Yeah.
I'm going on a vacation, so I'm not going to be here. So the studio's open, man.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to keep that in mind. I'll come up here and I'll cold tub. You know, that's one of my favorite things to do. I'll cold tub and come in here into the studio. It's kind of cold in here, so maybe I'll come
it
in
is.
Here first and then hot box or something.
That's what like I do that. When I get here in the morning. I turn the heat up.
Is that,
it's
yeah,
freezing
it's freezing. I believe that.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Did you have a good Father's Day, by the way? Happy Father's Day.
I had a very good Father's Day. We actually laid around and slept all day, which is one of my favorite things to do. We don't really take a lot of naps as families these days. We're kind of always busy and on the go and doing different things. Yeah. But, you know, I really enjoyed that. And, you know, just enjoy spending time with my family, man.
How's your bro doing?
He's doing well.
Yeah.
He's doing well. Taking care of what he's got to take care of and, you know, waiting to see how it all plays out.
Do you and him work together on a charity or do you have your separate ones?
I worked with him when I first came into the league and then I kind of branched off and decided to try to build my own one. It's actually called Foundation 50.
Mm-hmm.
I do work with sickle cell anemia and trying to bring awareness to that and trying to, you know, get people to give blood and donate blood. And I'm not really sure how familiar you are with it, but it's a rough disease, man.
Yeah.
It affects a lot of African Americans, and unfortunately, there's not a lot of African Americans that give blood, and it's kind of huge. So last year, our event that we did it on Halloween Day, and it was called Out for Blood.
Cool.
Trying to raise some money and trying to raise some awareness to people out here in Minnesota, and, you know, eventually take it back to the East Coast, back to Maryland, and everything else.
Cool. Will you do that again this Halloween?
Yeah,
we're
going to do it again. Not sure if it's going to be Halloween or not. It was kind of last minute last year, so people didn't really have a chance to adjust their plans and, you know, make it happen from there. So maybe we'll change the day so that way people can still go trick-or-treating and enjoy Halloween.
We'll promote it on the Wobcast presented by Beats by Dre. We'll promote your charity event right here, and we'll get people out there, man.
Nice.
Have you ever played baseball?
I played 1 year of baseball,
okay.
And that's actually when I figured out that I can throw. And
oh, really?
I played quarterback after that.
But if you were playing baseball and you came up to the plate, you know how each batter has like a song when they walk from the on-deck circle to the plate. What would your song be?
That's a tough one, Bobby. You put me on a spot like that. You could at least give me a heads up when you asked me to do this earlier. Tell me to think about
it. I was trying to ease our way into it by bringing up beats, by asking you about music. What's the last song you downloaded or the last album you downloaded?
The last album I downloaded was Big Crit, Live from the Underground. And
okay.
I like a song on there, and it goes, you know, I still got my sub, and it's blank, blank. You know,
yep.
But it's a nice beat to him. It's got a nice rhythm to it, and, you know, I think that would be fun because I would probably be a sub in baseball. I'd probably be like a DL or, you know, one of those guys that come in and pinch hit for people or something.
All right, are you going to ask me what song I would choose?
I actually don't care what song you would. No, I'm joking.
Hey, man.
I'm joking. See, you had time to think about it.
Well, I did it. I've had one.
All right. Well,
I played baseball.
Now, I want you to be the relief pitcher. You're not coming up the bat. You're the relief pitcher.
Okay.
What song do you come out to?
Beautiful by Snoop Dogg.
Beautiful.
Yes.
I just want you to know.
Yes.
You're
That's
my
it.
Favorite. Okay.
That's what I did.
I could dig it.
Is that all right for a white kid from
Southern
Minnesota?
It's kind of awkward, you know. It's a little weird, but I mean, I guess that fits you,
all right.
You know.
Good.
Wobby's awkward and weird. So
yes,
it makes perfect sense.
Very true. PA is on the other side of the studio here. I think he wants to talk to you, and we've been here long enough. We'll let you go, man. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it.
All right,
take it easy.
Before we get going, I wanted to go back to Jared Allen. I mentioned him in the open of the show. Jared is here. He had a press conference on Tuesday, which was the opening day of minicamp, and he took some questions from reporters. It was good to hear him talk, good to see him around the facility because everyone knows he's a jovial, gregarious guy. Fun to have him here, and he does a good job answering the questions. And right away, he was kind of asked why he hasn't been here during the voluntary part of the off-season program. And I thought he handled it really well, and there's actually, you can see good reasoning to why he's not here. He referenced the training regimen that he has, something that he kind of started to develop last year during the lockout when players couldn't be here. Then he has a 22-sack season, the best of his career, and just wants to stick with the mentality that he developed last offseason, stick with the training routine that he developed last offseason, hoping that it will lead to another really good season in 2012. So I thought he did a good job of kind of explaining his thought process behind how he approached the offseason. And he got into the pursuit of the sack record, which obviously he did last year. He came up a half a sack short of Michael Strahan's NFL single-season record of 22 and a half sacks, excruciatingly close to breaking that record. And, you know, Jared is a team-first guy. He cares about winning games. He doesn't let he doesn't let his individual goals get ahead of the team goals, and he talked about that during his press conference. But we were all watching him pursue that record, hoping that he got there. He came up just short. Now he's obviously motivated to pursue that again this season. And I thought he talked about it really well because he said you don't really know that you hope you're able to attain that record, beat that record, but you don't really know if you can until you finally get close to being there. He got close. He thinks he can get there, but he also pointed out that no one has had two 20-sack seasons in a row, so it's not like Jared is sitting there taking for granted that he's going to be close to the record again. He's working hard this offseason, going the extra mile to see if he can push himself to break that record. That'll be fun to watch. Another interesting thing is he said that someday he thinks someone will get to 25 sacks. He didn't assume it would be him. We all hope it would be him. It'd be fun to watch. But he referenced other great pass rushers, specifically mentioning DeMarcus Ware. He thinks that someone someday will get to 25 sacks in a season. That would break Michael Strahan's record and set a mark that's going to be really hard to reach. We hope it's Jared Allen. That would be a lot of fun to watch. With Jared's 22 sack season last year, that gives him 105 sacks since he entered the league in 2004. That's more than any other player has had over that time frame. The Vikings acquired Jared Allen in 2008, and he's ripped off great seasons every year since then. 14.5, 14.5, 11, and then 22 last year. He has 62 sacks since joining the Vikings in 2008, an unbelievable run for Jared Allen. My guess is the run is going to continue because of how hard he trains in the offseason and the fact that when he comes back to training camp, he hasn't been grinding away at Winter Park all offseason, so he's fresh, his mind is right. I think that's where he's going to be when we get to training camp. He'll be ready to roll. Can't wait to watch him and everyone else at training camp. We hope that all you listening try and find a way to get to Mankato to watch us at training camp. We'll be there for 3 weeks. It's the 47th straight season the Vikings have been down in Mankato for training camp. Always a fun time. Hopefully you're going to be there at some point. That is it for us today. I'm Mike Wobshaw. Thanks again for listening. We'll leave you with a hit from Snoop Dogg and Pharrell. Take it away.